week? What did we talk about? Last week we were talking about a lying tongue. Yeah, it's all Anthony's fault. If anybody has anything, I asked if somebody wanted to look up a scripture, or bring up a point or something, that we would finish it off today. Did anybody bring a scripture they wanted to share or something? No, of course not. Of course not. You have something else you want to share, Anthony? Nope. Just summarize your point.
All right, in summary.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay, in summary, I guess just what I was saying, kind of where we left off, is that God, he condones, or he approves of people without always approving of their actions. And he even blesses things, even though they may not have been followed out exactly the way that he wants them to be followed out. Like with the kingship, the monarchy of Israel, he didn't want a monarchy in Israel. He said to Samuel that the people disobeyed him and like they were rejecting him, but still he blessed the monarchy, and that wasn't necessarily his will. But you even hear him talking about, you know, allowing David's line to last forever. Like he blessed Aaron speaking for Moses, even though it wasn't originally his purpose for Moses to not be speaking. He wanted Moses to be speaking, not Aaron. And so there are a lot of things that he blesses. In his graciousness, he blesses his people, even though they don't always follow his script 100%. And I think even if you look in Hebrews and later on in James, where it talks about Rahab, it says that she was honored by God for her faith, but it doesn't actually condone the lie itself, because there are a lot of things that she did. She gave them a place to stay when they were being hunted down. And she even, if you look at what she said, she was talking about all the great deeds that God had done, and that she had faith that God did them and that would, in fact, deliver Israel, or deliver Jericho into Israel's hands. So you could say that that in itself was an act of faith. But you won't see him actually condone her lying. And so,
Pastor Don, you want to add anything? We're going to leave that one then. There is, believe it or not, this is not a new debate whatsoever. Actually, I went online. They actually have several books, I found out, that just cover that subject. The most compelling argument I found for your point of view, Anthony, the one they use mostly, is out of Romans 3. It's God's faithfulness, Romans 3, starting at verse 1. What advantage, then, is there being a Jew, or what value is there in circumcision? Much in every way. First of all, the Jews have been entrusted with the very words of God. What if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true, and every human being a liar, as it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak, and prevail when you judge. But if our unrighteousness brings out God's righteousness more clearly, what shall we say? That God is unjust in bringing his wrath on us? I am using a human argument here. Certainly not. If that were so, how could God judge the world? Someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases his glory, why am I still condemned as a sinner? Why not say, as some slanderers claim they say, let us do evil and good may result? Their condemnation is just. That's the one that most people that were arguing on your side said used. But we're going to leave that one open. We're going to end. God will sort that one out. God, we have to remember, God is God, right? In my case, I think I would take my chances and stand in front of them with a clean heart if I would lie in the circumstances we set. But if your heart says you're wrong, then you shouldn't do it. Pastor.
Yeah, no, what Anthony had to say is absolutely true, that God uses fallen people, you know, so there's no doubt about that. So the question was, You know, was she commended because she lied and protected, you know, the spies? And what I said last week was that we always have to look at the context of something that is being done, the context where there was in the midst of warfare. And so as we see warfare, we see that deception, lying to the enemy was very common, and it's not discouraged. Even in the scriptures, we see that they would faint, you know, like you use the illustration. When it comes to, you know, the gospel, our ethical way of life, yes, we're to be truthful. We're to be truthful. But there will come those times periodically that there's a conflict in what we would call, you know, kind of ethical code. Should I lie or should I allow somebody to die? Doesn't happen often. We use the analogy there of Nazi Germany and what have you. And there comes a time where life in the hierarchy of kind of the ethics is at a higher. So to protect life, sometimes a lower ethical code has to be broken. And we see that in Scripture, though that is not the pervasive or the common way that we should live. We should be truthful. We take an oath. But once again, when faced with that type of dilemma, that's where we have to weigh, and we have to say which is more important here. So, yeah, God uses, you know, the fallen and what have you. And you know, can we can we say, could God protect in that situation? Yes, we could. You know, this is one of those things that, once again, every situation is going to demand maybe a different. You know, they throw these type of scenarios out in schools and college, and what would you do if there's, you know, eight people in a boat and blah, 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 blah. And so they put you in what they call an ethical conflict. And for us Christians, that may happen periodically, and what we have to do is what is more important, and we have to make that. It doesn't happen that often. You know, there's a great movie. I was thinking of this, and it deals with an ethical conflict and how we respond. And it was a movie, The Bridge on the River Kwai. You remember that movie? You ever see that movie, Bridge on the River Kwai? What happened in the movie was that a British and American were being captured by the Japanese. And so they brought in some more prisoners. And when they got there, this British commander found out that the men were committing suicide because of their treatment. And what he saw was that there was a lack of discipline in the camp itself. And so what he did is, through a battle with the Japanese commander, is that he brought in a discipline, and his discipline was to put the men to work, to give them to something to live for. But in doing that, there was a conflict because he was actually helping the enemy. They were working on a railroad. They're building a bridge. And so during the course of the movie, you see the question is asked by this. They always have the Americans as the crazy guys, you know. And he's saying, hey, he says, what you're doing is good, but do you think it's right? And so there was this conflict where the commander saw things from the perspective that he was saving lives by having them organize and work, and the whole morale changed. But the Americans saw it, you're helping the enemy, and eventually down the road, you know, that Americans and British are going to be killed because what you're doing here. So it was a great movie because it put this ethical dilemma in contrast, you know, is what he's doing right by making him work or by helping the enemy? So we're not faced with that a lot. Hey, in this, the account of Rahab, we see she's committed, as Ashley had read there in Hebrews chapter, I think 11 is, you know. So we see that her actions preserve the life of that. Not that line, but once again, the context is there's warfare that's going on. She's protecting the life of God's righteous people, even though she used a deceptive means to accomplish that goal. But exactly what you said, there are times that, and God will use those, as you said, it wasn't his will for there to be a king, they asked for a king. It wasn't his will for David to commit adultery, but through that came Solomon. So we see that, and we have this promise that in all things that God works for our good. So whether somebody deceives us, but we're not called to act in that way. Very rarely will there'll be that conflict in our lives, but it may happen. And at that point there, you know, it's a tough decision. You know, do you give up the people hiding in your basement who are going to be put to death, okay, or do you lie to them and tell them that they're not here? And by even protecting them, you're breaking man's law, but are you breaking God's law? So we always have to look at that, to which law is in effect here. So you have, you know, and I don't want to go on and on, but same thing with the abortion. So we see people that were protesting, blocking the door. They are breaking the law. We're told somebody could use the same thing. Well, you know, it tells us to obey our, you know, the laws of the land. And then we see actual times throughout the scripture where man's law was set aside under possible penalty of death, Moses being one. He was hidden. He violated the command of Pharaoh. So once again, there was an ethical dilemma. Do I obey the law of the land of the king, or do I protect life? And so we see this sometimes. And that's all we're trying to say, is that there comes a point that we may have to use deception. We may have to lie in order to protect life and break that ethical code, because there's a higher standard of protecting life. So,
like we said, it's a big debate. The scripture I used originally was the one that most people use, that God is saying in your defense or with your line of thinking. But there's one more I wanted to throw out that's the opposite, that agrees more with what Pastor Don is saying. Steve is looking it up now. 2 Chronicles. All right. This is 2 Chronicles. Would you read that, Steve?
2 Chronicles 18, verse 16 through 22. Then Micah answered, "I saw Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These people have no master. Let each one go home in peace.' The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'Didn't I tell you that he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad?'" Micaiah continued, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the host of heaven, standing on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab, king of Israel, into attacking Ramoth Gilead and going to his death there?' One suggested this and another that. Finally, a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord, and said, 'I will entice him.' 'By what means?' the Lord asked. 'I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouths of all his prophets,' he said. 'You will succeed in enticing him,' said the Lord. 'Go and do it.' So now the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of these prophets of yours. The Lord has decreed a disaster for you."
Who sent the lying spirit? Can God sin? And his word there, it says, lying tongue is a sin and you're going to hell. So did he just bring his own commandment?
That was 2 Chronicles chapter 18.
Well, I mean, it said it's a lying spirit. It didn't say that it was a spirit. It was like an angelic spirit. Like, he even the same way that he sends his enemies, his adversaries, like when he rose up the Babylonians against the nation of Israel, God uses everybody, good or bad, in his chess game. He is the grand master. He sent them in the same way that he sent people to judge the Israelites, or in the same way that he sent he permitted the Jews to be confused, and why he used parables to confuse them, because they were under judgment. And so this man was under judgment. He allowed an agent, whether you want to call it angelic, satanic, whatever it was, he allowed an agent. I would pose that was a satanic spirit that he permitted, that he used. He uses everything in his plan. What I would say about that, I know you guys are always talking about like a testimony of two witnesses. And so what I would say is that I don't see that anywhere else in Scripture, that somebody lies and that even that they lie and that they, you know, that the action turned out in a good way. But even with the Hebrews and in James, he's not necessarily condoning the lie. He's just he's commending the person of faith. And it's the same way like Jonah, when he preached to the Ninevites, you know, he did it begrudgingly, but God still overall blessed him. And so just because somebody executes God's will in a way that may not be perfect, he still overall can bless them. So I don't think you see anywhere else in Scripture that second testimony of somebody lying and it being even in any way turning out in a good way.
I think we'll end with Kenny. Did you have your hand up?
Yeah.
We'll end with Kenny's comment. And everybody, did anybody else do any study? Like I said, I was quite surprised on, there's actually books written on, whole books on this. Kenny.
As far as the scenario with hiding the Jews, one thought that came to mind is rather than tell the truth, you could have said nothing. It would have been your life on the line only then. You wouldn't have been possibly putting anybody else's life on the line by saying, hey, I don't want to lie, doesn't mean that you have to speak forth the truth. You can turn around and take and be the shield in that matter, where most people wouldn't, you know, and say, okay, well, I'm not saying nothing. I'm not answering yes or no, but there would have been a lot of people that would have been killed for not even answering. Two, it says in the commandments that thou shalt not murder. Yet at the same time, God sent Israel into the promised land to do the very thing of routing out God's enemy. And when Saul didn't carry that forth, he had Samuel come and rebuke him because of the bleeding of the sheep in his ears and saying that, well, I carried it out. Well, he didn't carry it out. And the throne was taken from Samuel at that point for not continuing on and wiping out all the animals, all the people of that land. So there is them conflicts that only God's going to understand completely because it is in a context. That's in the bigger picture.
Now we're going to go to something that we all agree with, I hope. That truth, he's going to speak on, what's it just the opposite of lying? A lying tongue. Truthfulness. And I had a lot of people in mind, but they to speak about truthfulness, when you think of truthfulness, there's a lot of people we think of. But they were all busy, so I've got Steve. All right, everybody, give Steve your attention. He's going to try and talk fast here. We apologize, Steve, but you'll have many more chances.
All right, we ready? All right. Man, you guys, I was just going to invite Fred and my Uncle Bob back up here so you guys can continue that discussion, because you guys sound like, I was not here when you guys had this discussion, but it sounds like it was pretty heated and debatable, and I'm glad I was not here. But no, it's a good discussion and a good debate. It's always a good thing. It challenges us always to what do we believe, amen? And so when they asked me to speak on truthfulness.
Not only, Steve, more important, not only what we believe, but why we believe it. And that's why everybody had good arguments and brought the scriptures, why we believe it.
And I found that here we are in the Christmas season. Everybody's done with their shopping. Everybody's ready, got all the gifts all wrapped, ready around the tree, right? Yeah, right. Heck, we had a Christmas party at my house yesterday, and my wife's like, stay out there with your parents. And I've got stuff to wrap. We're wrapping as we bring them out. You know, it was just nuts. Anybody ever been there? Oh, my goodness. It was just nuts. But we got them. It was like, that. Yeah, it was great job, great job. And she's just looking at me like, don't tell me, good job. Anyhow, it's just been crazy. But I love the holiday season because it gives us such a chance to be a witness, because there's so many people looking for what? The truth of why we celebrate the season. Everybody has all these different reasons of why they do different things. Donovan talked to Impact last week about one of his Muslim buddies calling him and saying, hey, Donovan, I know something about the tree is something to do with Christmas. You know, and I don't believe in Jesus and all that stuff and him being the Savior and all, but I'm going to have a tree. I just don't want you thinking you're winning any type of argument with me by having a tree in my house. So it's just funny how people just around this time of year, you get little things that happen like that that allow you as a Christian to dig deep into somebody's life where maybe that was, or just not really dig deep, but just give you a slight advantage, I'll say, right? And so I love the holiday season of Christmas because it just gets me to be able to, a chance to be able to talk to people. One of the things I talk to Impact about, our college and career group, is Salvation Army. Salvation Army is one of the biggest things you see. Has everybody heard the bells ringing off? Feel guilty when you walk past and don't put nothing in? No? Not at all? Some of you guys, well, some, you know, it looks like they always get the most pitiful looking person out there ringing that bell.
Hey, I ring that bell.
And I bet, do they tell you to dress pitiful looking? And oh, you look, well, Kim's an exception, because if she's out there, she's going to look cute and stuff, have her heels on, like, hey, Merry Christmas. No. But no, Salvation Army, what I did is I challenged everybody about Salvation Army. Does anybody have an idea of what Salvation, because this is what I said. I said, Salvation Army is a perfect chance to witness to somebody. And they were like, well, what is that? I said, well, just think about it. What was Salvation Army derived from? Where did it come from? Does anybody know? Does anybody know where it come from, Salvation Army? How? What was the main purpose of Salvation Army? What do you think? So if you don't really know, I got three hands that went up when I asked. Four. Apostles is the answer. Kim?
And that's how he got started. And anyways, he had a heart for the poor. And there used to be a poor tax in the church, like a tax to sit in your seat. Not a poor tax, but a tax to sit in your seat. And he was against that. He wanted to bring the poor in. The church used to get upset that he was bringing the poor in. So he actually had a heart for the people. So he started that whole thing. So
you're touching on it a little bit, but I'll give even more of it, is that his name was William Booth. And he's not the guy who tried to assassinate Lincoln, okay? But he was from England, okay? And what I told the kids is, I said, go up to, you know, a cool thing to do is when those guys are just standing there and you feel like, oh, man, I just want to test my faith, or I want to just, do you ever get so excited about Jesus, you just, man, I got to tell somebody, you just don't know who? It's always great. That's why you can go on a mission trip and be a fool for Jesus. Why? Because none of those people know you. You ain't going to have to worry about coming back to someone like, I cannot believe that dude was dancing around like that. I can't believe he was praying for somebody. They don't know, you don't know him. That, you know, when you come back, you can just be you, you know. You just act nuts on a mission trip. I loved going on mission trips. One of the things that I say is, it's a complete stranger most of the time, right? The person ringing the bell, not unless it's the same guy that gets stationed at your store. But, hey, got your back, Kurt? All right, now. You know, it's normally, it's someone always different. So I said, this is a good technique to do is, go up to him and say, hey, man, Salvation Army, man, you got the shirt. Give hope and everything. What, man, do you know what that means? What it started out to be, man, I've done that already this year. My wife gets embarrassed. I'm just going in the store. And you're not going to do it. She squeezes my hand. You're not doing it. You're not doing it. But I'll go in there. Probably what Laura does to you, Pastor Don. But what I say to them is this, like, do you know why they got started? And they're like, no, I don't know. I don't know. And I asked these college students down by Campus Martius by Wayne State. They had their Wayne State jackets on, and then underneath they had their Salvation Army get up on. And they were sitting there ringing the bell, and I could tell they were students. So I said, hey, man, do you guys know what that means? And all three of them just had that. They were like, hey, how you doing, officer? I pulled up in the scout car. And I shut the door, talked to them, and they were like, oh, wow, man, that's a sweet car, man. Hey, what's going on? And I said, nothing. What's that Salvation Army stuff? What is that? Where did that come from? Do you know? And they were like, and you see the one girl, no. Yeah. I'm like, look at her going over there and looking it up. I should cap her in the knee right now. But what I said was, I went to tell them, it's about this guy who had a passion for the lost, the people that the church weren't really seeking after in England at the time, in the slums of England. He'd go and tell them, but what he did is, he goes, they're not teaching them about salvation, of who Jesus is. And so what I want to do is have this army of people that are biblically trained, and they're going to go and tell people who Jesus is, because I believe, and I need to put an army together so that I can get people saved. And that's powerful. for people just ringing a bell. They don't know that Jesus is so involved in that. The truth of who Jesus is so involved in that whole concept. But today's world mentality has watered it down to what the lady said. I said, do you any one of the girls, like, I don't know. Didn't it start out just by giving like people stuff for free? I'm like, no. And one guy goes, well, there's a store you can go to. It's like a Salvation Army. Ain't it? That's how it got started, because you could go to it started off like Walmart started out like a chain of stores. I mean, these kids, they were stretching for the truth. I'm like, no. Let me tell you the truth. But that's one of the reasons I love Christmas, because those people come out there and it's such an easy way to witness to people. And sometimes people will stop. Like, I've had situations twice now where I'm talking to the person and people are going to give money and they're like, and they're sitting there and I catch them listening to our whole conversation. Like, dang. And you know they're walking away like, now I know something. I'm going to go tell somebody else. You know, you don't know what seed you are able to drop in someone's lap, you know, by talking to them about the truth of who Jesus is. That's the reason for the season, right? That's the big cliche. All right. So now, with all that, that's not even my message, man. I'm not even going to get into my message. But I had truth. You guys got lying. You guys got lying. I got truth. So I looked up the word truth in the Greek. And for you Bible people, or people are taking notes, the word in Greek, it's mentioned 98 times in the Bible, the word truth is. And the word is aletheia. Aletheia is the way it's pronounced. And everybody knows the word truth. Has everybody ever heard the, what is truth? What is truth? Who said that? Who's the one that said, what is truth? Pilate did. Pilate said that when? When the Jews were demanding, hey, give us Jesus, let it be Jesus the one that gets crucified, right? So I thought to myself, am I going to talk to you guys? When I was praying about this, I said, do I need to talk to you about the tongue? Because we all know, most people think of the truth as what you say, right? Did he just tell me the truth? No, I think that dude just lied to me, you know? Some of you guys, right, don't get slapped by your wives, but when she asks you, you know, those pivotal questions, do I look fat in this? How's this shirt make me look? You know? What's this? You know, does these pants look too tight on my butt? Well, I mean, what is it, right? And you have to tell the truth, right? Don't get slapped, somebody. Someone's going to go downstairs like, man, I got a welder.
Are you married, Anthony? Well, that explains it, yes.
Yeah. Don't go downstairs having Pastor Don ask, "What? Dang, man, why you got those welts on your face?" And then catch yourself lying. Oh, I was just in the spirit, man. When I cry, I get this on my face. But no, you think of the truth, and it says in, where are we at? It says in James 3:1 about taming the tongue, right? Did you guys touch on that last week? James 3:1?
No.
And James 3:1. You guys didn't talk. You guys just debated the whole time, didn't you?
I wouldn't lie to you, Steve. We didn't.
And James 3:1, it says, no human being can tame the tongue. No human being can tame the tongue. Does everybody agree with what the scripture says on that? James 3:1. If you go to your word, it's a whole thing about taming the tongue and how wicked and deceitful the tongue is, right? No one can tame it. But the great thing I see on it, it says no human being can tame it. This is Bible study now. Are we supposed to be led by the humanity inside us? What are we supposed to be led by? The Spirit of God. Man, it's powerful right there. It's like, man, all right, well then, because most people, when you read this, like I know earlier when I first read the Bible when I was in my immature stages, more immature than I am now, I would read that and it was like, well then, heck, man, it says no one can tame the tongue, and I mean, no one can accuse me. You know, it gave me carte blanche. Like, well then, hey, man, if I slip up every now and then, it gives me carte blanche. Like, if this guy, you know, when they challenge me out on the street and, you know, someone says something to me and, you know, I just can't hold it in,
I might say a couple things that might, you know, and I can just go to the scripture. See, what's it say, man? It says no one can tame the tongue, brother. I'm just going what the scripture says. But then as you read and study, it says no human being, and I'm supposed to be led by the Spirit of God, right? It's a challenge to be led by the Spirit of God. Through this season that we're in right now, is Christmas, you're thinking, and it's so hard right now because, you know, you're thinking finances. What do I have financially? I know for me, it's a very hard time because those of you that have both parents in your life, I mean, one of the things, I have my wife, who you guys know, you know, both her parents are married. They've been married for a long time, and they're together. And this time of year, for me, I have my parents are divorced. And so I have these separate meetings. Yeah, I don't know if you'd say it's the boy in you, the child in you, or what it is. And maybe, can anybody relate that there's something, I don't know, no matter how old you get, there's something that always wants something put back together. There's something inside you that wants restoration. There's something that just eats at you, right? Or no, am I alone? And it challenges you. Your spirit is challenged because you begin to say there's a something inside you that says, it's almost like when someone gets blessed. You're like, oh man, congratulations. They're jumping up and down. I can't believe it. I got this car. I got this job. And you're sitting there praying for a job and a car too. And when the challenge becomes, are you going to be excited purely inside for that individual? Or is there something deep down inside you that says, oh, thanks, oh, man, I'm happy for you. And you're walking away like, dang, man, everybody gets blessed but me. Now, that's the truth, right? It's hard to see people getting blessed and have favor upon their life. And you say, but I'm trying and I just can't get there. Right? And the Lord was telling me, you're not going to speak today about what the tongue is always saying, because everybody knows from 2 years, 3 years old what a lie is. They do. My son, I'm teaching him that now. He's three, and he's in the potty training stage. And he's at this point now, and Evan, I hope he gets these CDs when he's older. But, I mean, I'll say he's in this potty training stage, and one of the things he's been doing great is doing the peeing part. But the one other thing, he's just slacking. Like, you'll find him, he becomes a special ops guy for the military. I mean, he's like, I mean, we find him and it's like he's buried somewhere. It's like you hear a video game like ding 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 ding, and you're like, where the heck is Evan? You know, and where's my Evan at? Evan, Evan, Evan. I'm yelling through the house, we're yelling through the house, and right away the light bulb clicks on in my mind. He's pooping. He's somewhere in this house pooping. That's why he's not coming. You know? And when I bring him out, I'll say, hey, what are you doing? And I mean, I could smell it as he comes forward, his, you know, saggy drawers and everything. And he's walking towards me, and I'm like, Evan, what are you doing? Because I want him to say the truth. Dad, I'm sorry, I was pooping. You know, but he ain't going to say it. He's at the point where he's challenging the truth of what's going on, and we still do it to this day. We got adults that challenge the truth. Right? And we're full of crap, right? So, you know, so you're walking up, he's walking up, and I'll say, do you got poop in your pants? And he'll say, no. And he's got this, like, concerned, weird look on his face. He says, no. And you got to fight past and not laugh and be serious, because my wife always says, you just ain't serious. So you got to be serious with him. I mean, he's going to think it's funny. And it's like, how do you find it hard? You're home with him every day. Do you find it hard? No, I think it's terrible that he's 3 years old and he's still pooping his, you know, that's a whole nother topic. But it's getting him, you know, to tell the truth. And we learn about telling the truth from a very early age, right? I'm teaching my son now, you can't lie to daddy. Daddy's not going to be mad, but you need to be able to tell me the truth. One of the things that, so I didn't want to talk about the speaking of the tongue, because we know when we're walking away from a conversation, you just lied. You just embellished that story, because two out of the three things you just said never even happened. For whatever insecurity you have inside you, you want to embellish it. Right? We do it. Yes? Pass it down.
He's going to put an embellishment on what you said right now.
One time, Brian knows him. Mark Kevorkian was a good friend of mine. And I was telling about a school reunion that I went to. And, you know, you get in and you start talking with the guys, and you embellish it a little bit. Sorry, Anthony, I did embellish it a little bit. But I'm telling them a story that I go to a high school reunion, and this guy comes up to me that I knew who he was, you know. But he comes up, and he's got the tight turtleneck shirt on, you know, and you could tell he's on steroids and all that. And he comes up, and he, like, you know, pokes me in the chest. And I'm telling this story. And what really happened was he came up, and he kind of poked me in the chest. Hey, you know, I remember you, and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and he said a couple things. But the way I told the story is that this guy came up to me, poked me in the chest, and said, yeah, you know, I remember you, and I had you in a bunch of my classes. And I said, no, we weren't in the same class. I had all the advanced classes. You had all those other, you know. And when I told Kevorkian, he just started rolling, you know. He was like, oh, that's a great comeback. I'm going to have to remember. Well, you know, later in the day, you know, I'm thinking, nah, that didn't happen, you know. So I had to go back to him and say, hey, Mark, I got to repent to you, you know. I lied to you. That didn't happen. And I mean, I battled with this. It was like, oh, you know, I'm got to be a witness for Christ, but man, you know, in the heat of the moment there, I started embellishing the story, made it a lot more funny than it actually was. And so I'm thinking, this guy's just going to, like, reject me. But I always remember his response. He looked down and goes, well, we all got skeletons in our closet, you know. And like you were saying, you embellish something, and there are times, hey, you got to go back and, you know, and make it right and speak the truth. And right. You think to yourself, oh, man, why did I do that? Why did I say that? It happens to all of us,
yeah.
You know. And we don't think about it until afterwards. We say, well, hey, we weren't exactly 100% accurate in what we were describing.
And I think the biggest thing in that, PD, is, you know, what I've learned in myself is why ask yourself. The Bible always talks about doing an inventory of yourself. Look inside yourself and say, why? You know, why verbally have I been lying? What is it inside me that I'm covering for? Because God always works from the inside out, right? What people see is something that you've been dealing with. There's a lot of us that come into the church on Sunday mornings that have been dealing with stuff, right? I'm very much no exception to that rule. You're constantly dealing with eternal things, and you're set. You have to still get up and take yourself and say, God is still God. No matter what the situation is, no matter how you're feeling, no matter how upset you are, because this world is designed to rob you of the truth of who God is in your life. So I don't want to talk to you about the verbal aspect of it, but what I want to talk to you about is in John 14:6, and this is where I wanted to hang my hat, and I'm just getting to it. In John 14:6, it says, I am the way. He's talking to Thomas. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's where I wanted to hang my message on today, and that's where I got the next two pages to talk to you about it, but I don't have the time to talk to you about it. But the truth, it says that he is the truth. And I believe that during this Christmas season, that is the attempt of the enemy, even after the Christmas season, is who is God to you? Who is he? Is he Jireh, which means provider? When the bills don't seem like they're adding up and it doesn't seem like you're going to have the Christmas you want? When situations hit your life and they're less than favorable? When you respond the way that you're not supposed to? Is he still Jireh? Is he still God? Can you go back and mend that situation? And the last point I'm going to stop at is this, because I can't get through this whole page. But one of the things that I see constantly, and I hope this is what we get, and then we go downstairs and set our minds right. The Bible talks about in Romans 7, and it talks all throughout the Bible. In Colossians 3, it says, set your mind on things above, right? Have we ever heard, set your mind, all throughout the Bible? And I looked up the word set, and it comes from a Greek word, which is a medical term. And it means to, like a bone is being set. And one of the things that I've realized is that in order to set something, in order for a doctor to set anything, what has to happen? It has to be broke. And the Lord told me before, and he continues to tell me, is look at that thing that's broken. Or you need to break that thing. That thing needs to be broken because it's not going to heal right. We constantly can perform in our, but it's not going to be right. If someone, you ever see someone who breaks something and then they never had it looked at, they never had it set by a doctor, you get some people, they're like, look at my hand, like, gosh, dog, what's wrong with your finger? Well, you know, my coach used to just say, you know, tape them together and they'll be straight. You just go back out there and play and their hands are just, they're like, yeah, man, when I was talking to you, you know, the other day, man, you're like, I never knew why your two fingers looked down all the time, you know. But now I know, is you never had it set right. Because you can still perform, but it's dysfunction that you're performing in. So God wanted me to tell you today that in the truth of who he is, recognize, number one, don't let this world, don't let the holiday season, don't let whatever it is going on in your life, whatever it may be, sidetrack you from who God is in your life. He is the truth. And what does that mean? It has so much. I could teach on that for weeks. Who is Jesus to you? When you respond differently. So I have here in closing, it says in my notes, I'll read right from my notes. God don't want you adding knowledge of him to what you already know. He wants you to uproot that old stuff because that old stuff needs to be broken so it can heal right. And when your mind's broken from every experience you've had, from what they did to you, from what you did to yourself, and how you were raised, and how your father left, and the year you found this out about your mom, and how you never had this, and no one ever gave you that, as soon as your mind is broken from being conditioned by experiences, God will begin to put a track of kingdom thinking inside of you. And you will walk out of things that have held you for years and days if you just allow God to reset your mind on the things above.
Give him a hand. The thing he was going to hang his head on there was, he called and asked, he said, how should I go with this? He said, I don't even know what you said. I said, well, just pray about it. If you remember, I ended it with three scriptures that saying basically lying is denying that Jesus is the Christ. That's where all lies start because they come from the father of lies, right? And the scripture he hung his head on is just the opposite. All truth starts with the knowledge that Jesus is Christ. And I think that's great. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Who would you like to close us?
Ashley.
Dearly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this Bible study where we can all come together and learn more about you and just to learn to hate the things that you hate and to love the things that you love. And Lord, just please help the truth of you to come from our mouths on a regular daily basis in our conversations with one another. And just bless the rest of the service and the pastor as he preaches. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.